Do you ever need comforting words? Do you ever need comforting words? There are times in our life where we need someone to give us comforting words. Sometimes we might have a family member that passes away from this life, and we'll go to a funeral home or a visitation, and when we're talking with those that remain, we try to give them some comforting words. Sometimes the doctor tells us that we have some grave illness or some major problem, and we want comforting words. Those of us with children know that if our children play sports and they lose a ball game, they need comforting words. There's times in our life where we want to be comforted. Job loss, family loss, some major problem in life, we want someone to comfort us. This morning we're going to look at some comforting words that Paul, the Apostle Paul, gave to the brethren. If you'll turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. Paul writes, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." When I see this passage, I want to look above and below and see what the words of comfort are. Comfort one another with these words. What words? What did Paul say that was comforting? That is what I want to look at this morning. And the theme of these comforting words is the second coming of Christ, and I appreciate Don leading us in those songs. One I had not heard for a long time. The second coming of Christ can be a comfort to us, and it should be. We're going to see this morning what it was that Paul said that was comforting. We live in a tumultuous time. We live in a difficult time. We live in a challenging time. And everybody would like from time to time to get some comforting words. We appreciate when there's been a loss of life, somebody comforting us. We appreciate when we find out that we've got some bad illness. We appreciate when we've lost a game or something along those lines, someone putting an arm around us and giving us some comforting words. It helps us to get through. And Paul realized that the brethren at Thessalonica needed such words. But when you begin to analyze these words, you begin to realize, hey, there's a lot of things here that are actually very comforting. Let's see what those are this morning. And if there's something in your life that this touches on, understand that if we're in a right relationship with God, we can be comforted by this very thing. And we're going to see this morning that he has a few things to say here that we would describe as negative in nature. But even negative things, as negative as they are, can be a comfort to us, as we will see in a minute. Much of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians deals with the second coming of Christ. Have you ever noticed at the end of each chapter in 1st Thessalonians, Paul talks about the second coming of Christ? Look at that sometime. At the end of each chapter, all five chapters, and even two of the chapters in 2nd Thessalonians, so seven of the eight chapters all deal with the second coming of Christ. And in chapter 4, verse 13, down through chapter 5 and verse 11, Paul is going to talk about the second coming of Christ. And there were some brethren who were troubled. They were troubled. They were in sorrow. They were in grief. And Paul wanted to bring some comforting words. He didn't want them to be ignorant. One thing that is a comfort to us is to know the truth about something. When we know the truth about something, that can actually comfort us. So Paul wanted them to have some truths, and he wanted these words to comfort them. Let's see what he says that does that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. There's different things that Paul writes about in this book, personal Christian living and other things, but he wants to address the second coming of Christ. Paul writes in chapter 4 and verse 13, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren." We would not have you unknowing or not knowing. Truth is what can bring a comfort to us, to have the facts about something or the truth about something. "Concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord." This is not Paul's opinion or what he thinks or feels. This is the very word of the Lord. "That we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that fall asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, what we call chapter 5, he continues to go on in, so let's keep reading. It's the same thought. "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that aught be written unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When they are saying, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief, for you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even as also you do." What did Paul say that was comforting words? Well, it's comforting to know that the dead are still living. The brethren at Thessalonica had loved ones who were Christians, and they had fallen asleep in Jesus. If you look in your Bible, fall asleep is a euphemism for dying. Rather than saying dying today, we will say pass away. Another way of saying that, euphemism means to speak well, we would say a nicer way of saying it, or a more gentler way of saying it, is to say fall asleep. Well, some brethren had fallen asleep in Jesus. They had died as Christians, and the brethren at Thessalonica wanted to know if they're going to be left out of God's plan. They're dead. They're gone. When Jesus comes again, are they going to be left out? And so some of them were grieved and sorrowing over that, and Paul wants to set the record straight and teach the facts about that. So that's the background. Some brethren have died. And what about these dead brethren? And how does that relate to Jesus coming again? Well, the first thing that Paul says is that we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus, they've died as a faithful Christian, will God bring with him. It's a comfort to know that the dead are still living. They're not gone. People today believe that when you die, that's it. That's the end of your existence. But when we die, we live on after we die. And Jesus talks about that in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 and following, when he talks about the rich man and Lazarus. They both died. The rich man, who was not right with God, he went to a place called torment. And Lazarus, who was right with God, went to Abraham's bosom in this place called Hades. You continue to live on. It's a comfort knowing that when you die, you're still living. That's not the end of your existence. And that's a comfort to know that. Now we need to fall asleep in Jesus. Look at that. Fall asleep in Jesus. When we pass from this life, we need to be in Christ. We need to be baptized into Christ, number one, and we need to be living faithfully thereafter. That's how you die or fall asleep in Jesus. When you're not a Christian and you fall asleep, it's out of Jesus. But when we fall asleep and we pass from this life in Jesus because we've been baptized into Him and we're living faithfully, we live on. Well, the wicked live on too. But the dead are still living. And that's a comfort to know that. Our existence does not end at our death. But look at what Paul says. It's also a comfort to know that Jesus Himself is coming again. Did you notice in the reading that we had earlier, for example, in verse 16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. You know, it's a comfort to know that when Jesus comes again, He's not going to send a representative. He's not going to send somebody else. It's going to be Him Himself. Look at Acts 1:11. When the angels talk about Jesus ascending back up into heaven, it's the same one who's going to come back to the earth. That's a comfort to know that. We're going to see Jesus Himself, not a representative, not somebody else. You men of Galilee, why stand you looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. This Jesus, not somebody else. Boy, it's a comfort to know that Jesus Himself is going to descend from heaven. What a great thing that's going to be. You know, we've never seen Him, have we, in the flesh? We've never seen Jesus in the flesh. We've never talked with Him personally. We've never seen Him in the flesh. But to be able to see the very one that we've read about in Scripture all these years, the sinless one, the one who could work miracles, the divine Son of God, the one who taught all of those great lessons on the Sermon on the Mount and many other places, the very one who died on the cross for us, that very one. You get to look Him in the face. Jesus Himself shall descend. That's very comforting to know that we get to see the very Jesus that we've always known about, but get to see and hear for the first time. That's a comfort. So Paul is trying to comfort with these words. What is it about these words that's comforting? So we live on, and number two, Jesus will come Himself. And this is a comfort to know that the righteous dead partake of the same event as the righteous living. We all get the same thing. That's a comfort to know that. And that really is the heart of what Paul is dealing with, because some thought that maybe the dead righteous are going to be left out. Somehow they're going to be left out. And when Jesus comes again, we know that we'll be able to partake of it, but our dead loved ones, they're somehow going to be left out. And Paul is saying, no. No, everybody gets to partake of the same event. So, God will bring with Jesus those who have passed from this life. And verse 15, those of us who are living, we're not going to go before them. We're not going to go to heaven before the dead. We're all going to partake of the same event. Now, those of you who have the King James here this morning, you might want to make a note in verse 15. Your version says, shall in no wise prevent them that fall asleep. Prevent. Today in the English, the word prevent means you keep somebody from doing something. But in 1611, the old English word prevent meant to go before, to precede or go before. So you just want to make a note of that. It's not prevent in the sense of keeping something from happening, but we're not going to go before. We're not going to precede. And so the New King James updated that to precede. We're not going to go before, precede anybody. It's all going to be together at the same time. The dead righteous and the living righteous. And that's a comfort to know that the dead righteous are not going to be left out of anything. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there, that everybody has to be changed. Everybody has to be changed. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep. Not everybody's going to die. Not everybody's going to be dead when Jesus comes again. There'll be those who have died. There's going to be those who are living. But look at what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:51. But we shall all be changed. Everybody's going to be changed. Everybody is going to be caught up in the air at the same time. And that's a comfort to know that. Everybody gets the same blessings at the same time. Some of the Thessalonian brethren, were concerned that maybe their dead loved ones were going to be left out of something. And they're not. And it's comforting to know that we all experience the same thing. It's also comforting to know that Christians will still be around when Jesus comes again. That's a comforting thing. Paul talks about that when Jesus comes again, we that are alive, that are left unto His coming. You know that regardless of when Jesus comes again, there are going to be living Christians. That's a comfort to know that. And it doesn't matter when Jesus chooses to come. He's chosen not to come in the past 2,000 years. But what if he waits another 2,000 years? It doesn't matter. It's comforting to know that there's always going to be Christians around. Isn't that comforting to know that? The kingdom, we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And it doesn't matter how long God takes to send His Son again, there will always be a kingdom. Now, it may not always be in this church building. It may not always be in Clarksville. I hope it will. But it doesn't matter how long Jesus takes, there are going to be those who can say, we that are alive at His coming. What a great thing that is. It doesn't matter how dark the times are ahead for America, and it does look like there are some dark days ahead. I hope it gets better. It doesn't matter how dark the days are in this country or anywhere in the world. There will always be a church. There will always be a kingdom. Daniel 2:44, it is an everlasting kingdom. Hebrews 12:28, it's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And that's a comfort to know that. Your children can be a part of that kingdom, and your grandchildren can be a part of that kingdom, and great-grandchildren, and on and on and on. There will be Christians living and serving the Lord when Jesus comes again. What a comforting thought. And Paul also says something else. He also says something else that's very comforting. He says that when you fall asleep in Jesus, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when you fall asleep in Jesus, when you die as a faithful Christian, it's all worth it. It's worth it. Because when Jesus comes again, He's going to raise you and you're going to go up in the air with the living. And it's going to make it all worthwhile. Sometimes people today wonder, well, is it even worth it to be a Christian? Should I go through the sacrifices? Should I make the commitment? Should I be faithful all the way into the end? Should I do those extra things? Should I attend? Should I get my Bible class lesson? Should I volunteer to do work? Is it worth it? It is. And when we die and fall asleep in Jesus, there's going to be a reward to that one day. And John knew that, and Jesus knew that in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Turn with me there. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Yes, it is absolutely worth all of the sacrifices that you're making right now, all of the commitments and all of the dedications. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow with them. That verse is talking about those, in the verse right above it, those who are in heaven. So just keep being faithful and keep doing those things that you're doing. It is worth it. And I also know, and it's also comforting from chapter 4 and verse 16, that there's going to be a resurrection day. There's going to be a resurrection day, and that's comforting. When we die, that's not the end of our existence. And when we die, that's not the end of God's plan. There's going to be a resurrection day. We're going to come back to life and be joined with an eternal body. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15, a heavenly body, he calls it there. There's going to be a resurrection. And that's a comforting thought. Now, the question remains, what part of that resurrection are you going to be in? Turn with me to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus speaks of this. He says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice being Jesus, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment." What's it going to be for you or me? But there is going to be a judgment day and a resurrection day. And that's a comfort. How many funerals have you been to? How many funerals have I presided over and been to? And you see the body put there in the ground. It's not going to stay there. It's not going to stay there. All that are in the tombs will come forth when Jesus comes back. Let's be on the right side of that. Let's be on the side of that where we're doing good unto the resurrection of eternal life. But what a hope and what a confidence and what an encouragement to know that there's more to God's plan than just living a physical life and dying. That's what the world says. That's the end of it. End of matter, case closed. No, there's a resurrection. And there will be continuing on living either in heaven or hell. And we've got to be ready for that great day. What a comfort it is to know that there's more to this life in God's plan. Turn with me to verse 17. "Then we that are alive," that is living Christians, "that are left, shall be together with them," dead Christians, dead faithful, "be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." You know, it's comforting to know that there will be a glorious reunion with faithful Christians and Jesus Himself. What a comfort that is. Do you know of anybody in your life that has passed away, that you believe passed away from this life as a faithful Christian? You get to be with them again and Jesus Himself to meet the Lord in the air. That's a comfort. I get to see Him again. And I get to see Jesus. And John says, "I will see Him and I will be like Him." We will see Him as He is. 1 John 3:2. What a great thing that is. Again, as I mentioned earlier, it's not some representative of Jesus. Verse 16, "the Lord Himself." What a great thing that is. And I'll tell you, I've spent my life preaching about Jesus. I hope I'm getting it right, because one day I'm going to have to face Him. He's going to say, "Chris, you spent your life preaching about me. I hope I'm getting it right. I'm really trying. I've got to face the one that I've been preaching about my whole life." And all of us have that opportunity. Whether we're living faithfully or we've died faithfully, we get to be in this glorious reunion with other faithful Christians. There were some family members that had a great impact on my life when I was young. And I want to see them again. I had a grandfather on my mother's side that had a great impact on my life. I want to see him again. I'm pretty certain he died as a faithful Christian. I want to see him again. And my parents. And maybe you have those in your life. What a comfort it is to know that we get to go to a reunion. And Paul says something else. He says that we will leave this old sinful world behind. It's a comfort to know that the place you're at right now, that's not the eternal abode. We're going to be caught up in the Lord in the air, and you're thinking, "Well, what's going to take place with the earth? It's going to be gone." Peter said the earth and the works therein will be burned up. This sinful old world that you're familiar with and all of the things that go on with that, you get to leave all that behind. You're going to a better place. We're not going to come back and live on a restored earth. No. 2 Peter 3:10 through 12 is going to be gone. We're going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord, and we're going to go to a place that Scripture calls heaven. There are things of this life. I don't like pulling weeds. I don't like pulling weeds. I won't have to do that anymore. There's some things of this old sinful world that you won't have to be around anymore. Not a fan of tornadoes. Not a fan. Not a fan of hurricanes and tornadoes. And if you're out west, fires and earthquakes and whatever you have to experience, you get to leave all that behind. What a great comfort that is. We're going to be caught up in the air. And then after the judgment day, we get to go to heaven, and this place is going to be gone. Notice that Jesus does not come to the earth. Jesus does not come to the earth, and then we keep living on it. It's going to be gone. And what a comfort that is. Now come with me to chapter 5, and let's begin our journey through there. We're going to end up here in chapter 4 and going into chapter 5 with these comforting words. Do you know what else is a comfort? It's a comfort. It's comforting to know that we will be with the Lord forever. Wow. Not for a short period of time, not for a few days or a few months or a few years, but so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, where is that? Jesus said in John 14:3, I've gone to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. What a comfort that is. It's called heaven, other places in Scripture. Paul said, I want to depart and be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, Philippians 1:23. What a comfort that is. To be with the one who died for us. To be with the one who loves us. To be with the one who's taught us so much in His Word. Boy, I want to be with Him. And that's comforting to know that we can do that. We need to continue living faithfully each day so that we can have that. To ever be with the Lord. And you come on into Chapter 5 now, the comforting words continue. It's comforting to know that we already know that the Lord's return can be at any time. That's a comfort to know that there's not going to be some change in plan and you're going to be left out. You already know. Look at verses 1 and 2. Paul says, you already know that the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Do you know that that is actually comforting to know that we know? To know that we know. That's comforting. God's not going to do some sneaky plan where He does something and you don't know about it. It's a comfort to know what's coming up. I've had that happen in my life. Maybe you've had that happen in your life, especially with regard to medical things and other things. When the doctor tells you ahead of time and you get the information and you know it, then it's a comfort going into the situation. Look at verses 1 and 2. Paul is saying, I don't have to write this. You already know that. You know that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And it's a comfort to know that. It's a comfort to know that the Lord's return can be at any time. And it's a comfort to know that, and we can be ready for that. That saying, thief in the night, shows up in 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. But that's fine. We already know that. And we're always ready for that. Are you? If you're not ready, you need to get ready. But if you're ready, we already know that it can be at any time, and it's a comfort to know that that's how it's going to play off. But there's something else. Verses 3 and 4, Paul is going to talk about something that's negative here. It's comforting to know that we will not suffer destruction like the rest who have no hope. Now, this does get negative. It gets negative. Because Paul, in this verse, is going to separate the faithful Christians from the world. I want you to underscore in your Bible two words, the word they, and the word rest, the rest of the people. He's now going to talk about people who aren't faithful Christians. When they, people out in the world, they have not obeyed the gospel, when they are saying peace and safety, everything's fine, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child. All of you mothers out there remember when you were going through birth pains? And they shall in no wise escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You're not going to be like these people, the rest. They who are out there, they're not ready to go. They're going to be destroyed. And that's why the scripture reading this morning that Levi had, look at 2 Thessalonians 1 again. Those who do not obey the gospel, listen very carefully. Those who do not obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord. And what Paul is saying in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 and 4 is, you don't have to be a part of that group. You will not be a part of that group. There's a group that does not obey the gospel. By the way, do we know of anybody like that? If we do, Jude 22 and 23, let's do all that we can to snatch them out of the fire. If there's someone we need to go home and talk to, let's do that. They are the rest who have no hope. And they're not obeying the gospel, and what's coming for them is eternal destruction. Let's do what we can to try to talk with them. But it's a comfort, Paul says, verse 4, you are not in that situation. That's comforting to know that. Now, we don't want to be among the rest who have no hope. We don't want to be among that. And so, when we obey the gospel and we live faithfully each day, it's a comfort to know that there's going to be a separation in the judgment day. And we don't have to partake of that eternal destruction. Well, what do we get? Well, go to that scripture reading again in 2 Thessalonians 1. If you keep coming on down, what do we get? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, we get glory. We don't get eternal destruction. We get glory. We get the glories of heaven. It's a comfort knowing that we will not suffer destruction like the rest of the world. I'm taking that expression back from verse 13. The rest who have no hope. This is the world. They don't have a hope of heaven. We're not going to suffer destruction like them. And that's comforting. But it also is a reminder that we need to share the gospel with others. It's comforting to know that we are God's children. Look at verse 5. For you are all sons of light. It's comforting to know that we're God's children. Paul is saying, you're not like the rest of the world who have no hope. You're sons of light. How comforting that is to hear that. Paul will use children of light in Ephesians 5:18. We're in God's family. When we're baptized into Christ and when we're living faithfully each day, we're God's children, and that's a comforting thing. God does not lump everybody together when Jesus comes again. Everybody's the same. No, there is the rest who have no hope, and then there's the sons of light. Let's be the sons of light. Let's be in God's family. Let's be God's children. And it's comforting to know that God is going to treat everybody differently depending upon their obedience to the gospel or not. And let's look at verse 5. Let's keep living that life of light. Light here is truth. What is right and truth and righteous? Let's stay away from the sin of darkness. You are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as do the rest. The rest. Who are these rest? The rest. Who is that? It's the people out in the world who don't obey the gospel. They have no hope. but let us watch and be sober. We sang about that this morning. It's comforting to know that we can be prepared and watch and be sober, clear-headed, clear-thinking. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, we're sons of light. We're children of God. We're different. Let us be sober, again, mentioning that twice, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. It's comforting to know that we can be ready, that we can be protected. Notice the figure of a breastplate, the breastplate of faith and love. When we have an active, obedient faith and we obey the gospel, it's like a breastplate. It protects us. When we live with love, and a helmet is a protection, it's comforting to know that we are ready for that day to come and we're protected. Is it comforting to know that if your house burns, it's fine because you've got fire insurance? Is that comforting to know? If you know that you have protection on your car or your house or your health, is that a comfort to you? Of course it is. Knowing that we're protected brings comfort. And so Paul is saying, look, you can watch and be sober. You can be protected. You can have the hope. Hope? That's a comfort. And notice, he says, the hope of salvation. Back up in verse 13 of chapter 4, the people out in the world have no hope. And you have the hope of salvation. What a comfort that is. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, that it's that hope of salvation, that hope of a home in heaven that gets us through all of the difficult things in life. The context there are sufferings and trials. And Paul says, your hope gets you through all of that. And then look at verse 9 with me. It's comforting to know that we can be saved from God's wrath. Wow. Paul says, God appointed us not unto wrath, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we obey the gospel and we live faithfully each and every day, we don't have to get God's wrath. That is a comforting thing. And boy, it'll be wrath. I'm telling you. It'll be wrath like you have not seen before. In fact, I think that's it's probably a sermon that we probably don't preach much. The wrath of God. And eternal hellfire is going to be bad news. And people today have tried to water down hell and the cuss word hell and hell on earth and all that kind of stuff. It's not even close to what it's going to be. And the wrath of God is serious. Jonathan Edwards, back in the 1700s, preached the famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And boy, you don't want to be there. But that's the whole point of verse 9. It's comforting to know that that's not what we're going to have to get. Because we've obeyed the gospel and we're living right each day, we get the salvation that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing that is. You're not going to have to face wrath. When you're living faithfully each day, you're not going to have to face wrath. The rest are, but not you. And what a comforting thing that is. And then last of all, look with me at verse 10. It's comforting to know that whether we're living or dying, it doesn't change our heavenly reward. Whether we wake and we're alive when Jesus comes, or we're asleep in Jesus, we should live together with Him. That speaks to what we talked about earlier in verse 17, being caught up in the air to be with Him forever. Our heavenly reward, our citizenship is in heaven Philippians 3:20, whence we wait for a Savior. And it's not going to change whether we live or die. The reward is the same. And what a beautiful thing that is. Brethren and friends, this morning, comforting words indeed. Wow. Comforting words indeed. Every line is a comfort. And it encourages us, hopefully, to come and put on Christ in baptism if you need to do that. Come back to the Lord if you need to do that. Keep living faithfully each and every day. All of us need comforting words from time to time. And these are some of the greatest comforting words that deal with the greatest event that lies ahead, and that is the second coming of Jesus. I'm glad that we're singing these songs to keep that at the forefront of our mind. But the nice thing is, as we walk out of this auditorium this morning, right with God, it's comforting all the way through with regard to Jesus coming again. Now, if you don't have that comfort, if you've got some uneasiness right now about some things, then let us help you with that. And it's going to be by us obeying the gospel and living right each and every day. Paul did not want these brethren to be disturbed. He didn't want them to be sorrowing and grieving and not knowing some things. Let me comfort you. And I'm sure, and at the end he says, encourage one another. I'm sure this greatly helped them. What a great man the Apostle Paul was. He just wanted people to know the truth and be comforted. And we can know those same things today. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing this song of encouragement?